It's Turi Ryder on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Will Chicago get a do-it-yourself biotechnology lab? Well, as a city who was voted one of the worst for Wi-Fi, one of the least wired cities in the nation, it's debatable whether we'll be getting a do-it-yourself biotech lab anytime soon. But they're interesting. What are they? They're exactly what they sound like. And there are several of them around the country, including one that's been built in Seattle called Hive Bio. It's called Hive Bio Hackerspace. And the folks who founded it are all joining us now, all three of them. Burgeon McMurray and Dr. Michael Galdzicki and Catriona Guthrie-Honey. For three people, they have a lot of nameage, don't they? Hey, welcome. You're on 720 WGN, all of y'all. Oh, my gosh. What did I do? I did something wrong. I'll get them back. Catriona, I hung up on everybody but you. See, this is why you don't want me in your laboratory. You don't want me in your laboratory. Pardon me?
Well, it's lovely to meet you.
It is lovely to meet you. I'm so impressed that you did all this with, like, Kickstarter money and all this kind of crowdsource funding, and you decided, what was the burning desire that you had to do your own science, not in school, not for a company, just do it? What was that fire in you that said, I got to have my own lab and do stuff, and I got to get everybody else in here to do stuff?
Well, actually, I only started working on biotech about a year and a half ago, just with a school science project that I entered in a local biotech fair. And as I started to get really passionate, I ended up teaching myself advanced biotechnology and biology via Wikipedia. And I went to the University of Washington Library, and I would check out articles from books that I could get there. I would talk to chemistry librarians. And actually, because it's so expensive to get scientific articles online, I used a college friend's ID so that I could get in through the SVU library to access their
You are so desperate that you were forging identities to read about science. You realize that there are teachers listening to the show right now who are swooning with pleasure to hear you say that? They're passing out.
I like to think of it not as forging, but borrowing.
Borrowing.
Redistributing resources.
We're going to let producer Craig put all these people back on the air because I am afraid to touch the button. Will you do that, please, producer Craig? It's done. Welcome. It's Burgeon McMurray, right? Dr. Michael Galdzicki, correct?
It's Burgeon with a hard G, but thank you.
It is Burgeon. Okay. Yeah. See, I thought it was Burgeon. Then Craig says it's Burgeon. Now it's Burgeon. Okay. I was right the first time, Craig, so just in your ear. And Michael Galdzicki, have I got that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I'm right here too.
The only thing worse than pronouncing somebody's name wrong is pronouncing it right and have somebody correct you so you pronounce it wrong the next time. Ooh, that's annoying. So you all have created, one of you is like forging identities to read science. And then Burgeon, what was your strategy and what was the burning fire that made you decide you had to do your own science?
Well, I have been studying neuroscience on my own and also at school for a few years, and I have been a part of the Seattle Maker community for about 4 or 5 years. And I was sitting with a coworker at the time, and we were talking about all the research that we wish we could do if we just had access to the equipment. And we looked at each other, and we were like, well, why don't we just make this lab ourselves? So we did.
Cool. Very cool. And then, Dr. Galdzicki, what was your involvement in this?
Well, so I found out that this was going on, and I just thought it was really exciting, and I wanted to get involved. I do somewhat similar stuff at work, but not exactly this, and I thought, you know, well, if they're going to do it, then maybe I can help.
Now, as when you said you alluded to your work, can we unmask you and ask about your day job?
Sure. Yeah, I work at the University of Washington. I'm a postdoctoral fellow there, and so it's I do science research, and then I thought I guess I would do it for a hobby too.
Now it strikes me reading about other scientists' response to the do-it-yourself science movement that they take basically one of two tacks. They're kind of smirkily condescending or big cheerleaders. Have you found this to be true?
In Seattle specifically?
But around the, I mean, it's everywhere. So you can take it from whichever community you've been around or noticed.
Well, the Seattle community is actually really supportive when it comes to DIY bio because there's such a large maker and hacker community here. Okay. And biotech is also fairly big here. But I have definitely read some articles that weren't exactly, you know, pro-DIY bio.
And Bergen, you?
That was me.
Oh, my God. So this is what, Craig, you need to tell me who I'm talking to besides, but that was my fault. So, Catriona, what's your, you're the youngest of the bunch, right?
Well, maybe I should talk in a high, squeaky voice then so you can help distinguish.
No, we need to get some, like, DIY science vocal modification going on for you. But, so, Catriona, you are the younger of the trio?
I am indeed.
Do people smirk and wink and treat you like you're, you know, just playing at this and then you womp some really good science on them and they rock back on their heels and go, whoa, where did she come from?
Well, like Bergen has said, mostly the reaction I get, especially in Seattle, is just this phenomenal response where people are excited and they're offering to help at every corner. I've been so astonished and amazed with all the help that not only I as a researcher have been able to garner, but as Hive Bio. And there's definitely been a couple of times where I've either felt that I've been talked down to because of my age or that been rejected, but those are very few times. The most common problem I have is that if my father's dropping me off somewhere, that or if I'm with an older person, that they will completely disregard me and talk to that person.
You're getting doomed like six ways, both as a woman and as a young person. I will tell you a quick aside. I know a woman who was a big corporata, we'll just call her. And she was in a meeting with a bunch of guys and everybody went to lunch. And by mistake, she hadn't thought about it. She was wearing a black business suit with a white shirt. She took off her jacket. When she came back to the table, the guys gave her their order. They assumed she was the waitress.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And this was not that long ago. It still goes on. I mean, she never wears black and white to a corporate meeting anymore. The guys can do it, but she can't. So what are I'm going to start with the negative. We'll work over to the positive. The negative, the things that people are saying about do-it-yourself, hacker science, hacker bio, is that there's a lack of understanding of potentially what could happen with these nifty things you come up with. And the glow-in-the-dark plant was a good example where a lab in Sunnyvale wanted to create a glow-in-the-dark plant, and people who care about nature were concerned because, after all, if you're going to protest GMO corn, you might also be concerned about glow-in-the-dark plants. And then the other thing is this concern that it could be used by people who mean us ill. So could any of you address those two objections?
Sure. This is Bergen, by the way.
Okay, good. Good to know.
One of the main focuses of the DIY bio movement in general, and Hive Bio specifically, is science education. There's a lot of the worries about DIY bio come from not really understanding what's possible in these labs and not really understanding biological sciences in specific senses, because, you know, biological science is complicated. And DIY bio spaces really go out of their way to educate their members about all different aspects of bioscience. And we're really trying to, you know, keep people from worrying so much.
So, no, you're not worried that someone might create something that actually might turn out to be a biohazard?
Well, actually, in our lab specifically, and I'm pretty sure this is consistent from lab to lab, but don't quote me on that. But in our lab specifically, it's not actually possible for us to do that, because in order to do that, in order to get your hand, like in order for someone to have access to anything that could possibly become a hazard, like you have to order things from companies,
right,
and you have to meet a lab certification safety standard. So right now we're aiming for safety standard 1. But we actually can't order anything as a level 1 lab that is dangerous. It's not possible.
I see. But and you're not worried that somebody who is not you, but who would be as dedicated to so dedicated to science that she might use an ID to get into the University of Washington's science library, someone equally dedicated to doing things that he or she ought not be doing, might somehow not quite legally obtain things that, you know, just kind of doctor the letterhead a little bit so that an order could be placed?
So within our laboratory, the idea is for, first of all, for us to educate the members when they come in to continue this kind of educational process throughout the time that they're a member in order for basically for the people who are interested in the biological sciences who wouldn't otherwise go and seek an education to come in to find out more. But on top of that, in terms of specific security risks and so forth, it's actually the FBI who's very well connected with the do-it-yourself biology community. So if we had concerns within our group, let's say, we have contacts who we can reach out to get them.
Oh, good to know. So you have have a little book of people you can call.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what is the... Okay, let me back up a little bit. As the daughter of, I'm going to tip my hand here, as the daughter of an immunogeneticist, the thing that drives me craziest when people talk about science is how few people actually understand how to think scientifically. It drives me crazy. And it's my favorite example, which everyone will know, is the people who swear by vitamin X or vitamin Y because they had a cold and they took the vitamin and they got better. And you want to say, look, you know, if you'd poured dishwashing liquid on your head, you would have also gotten better. Did that, you know, what makes you think that it was the vitamin C? And the idea of thinking scientifically, running a control, playing with the experiment, we put this in, we take this out. Are you guys being taught this in school now, or where did you pick it up, if not?
Well, I don't know. In my school, we're taught to pour dishwashing detergent over our heads for anything, any problem.
Oh, that's good. That must be a Seattle thing. A Seattle thing, obviously.
Well, the rain washes it right off, so.
So, and it leaves you with smooth, bouncy, and germ-free hair, cold-free hair. It's nice. Your
exactly.
hair doesn't sneeze or cough. Perfect. Perfect. So where did you get your knowledge of the scientific method? And are you going to be teaching this in BioHive?
Hive Bio.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
So, well, it's okay. Ask scientists like things to be specific, so this is good. Yes.
My father is a laser physicist.
Uh huh.
So, science has been a part of my life ever since I was very young. But actually, I did not ever think that I wanted to be in biotechs. My father built in the scientific method, and it was just a part of our family conversations for what's something that I feel so lucky for. And that upbringing of the education is something we're really working hard to instill here in Hive Bio, that education is a major part of our mission because we want to share this amazing experience we had with science and knowing about the scientific method and simple things like that dishwashing detergent does not actually cure the common cold. To everything about
I'm glad we could debunk that right here, right now. Since I'd started it 3 minutes ago, I'm glad we could just squash that like a bug right now. So, okay. People come in and they like the idea of science. Does it happen that people come in and maybe Dr. Galdzicki, you would be the one who would be dealing with them on the front line because it looked, maybe any of you would. People come in, they want to do science and they have a nut bucket idea. I mean, it's clearly a nut bucket idea, not an idea that maybe if you had enough money to research it, it would work. I mean, clearly a nut bucket idea. What do you do?
Well, actually, I want to
be enthusiastic about, you know, about their about what they want to do. So I don't want to squash their enthusiasm or detract them from pursuing their questions. But maybe some parts of their idea are something that would be impossible to do. So rather than telling them that something is impossible, I would rather maybe kind of try to help them find some related things that they could do that are possible. So something that comes from just like an example of a project that we've been working on is we're going to do a simple PCR project, so a simple amplification of some DNA.
Okay, wait. You have to back up. Not everybody listening knows. Yeah. Okay. In very simple, plain English, for those listening who might not be familiar with what you just said.
Okay.
A PCR project, what's that?
Yeah, a PCR is a technique that helps you amplify DNA or make more DNA of a piece that you really want. And
okay.
So the idea was that one of our members came up with this idea for what he wanted to do. But he had read up on it, and he knows quite a bit about this. Except one reagent that he wanted to use has some carcinogenic properties. So it has some hazard to it. But one of our other members, I think our safety officer actually, suggested, well, why don't we just replace that one chemical with another chemical that's available from a supplier, and it's a stain, and that one is safe. And so, for example, that was a little moment where we basically, as a community, helped this particular project avoid this one particular chemical that would have had some potential hazards when something else
this
is available.
Is good. That could this be is. Good. This is like when the kid comes in and wants to cut with the big kitchen knife and you say, you know, that's great. You want to cut that. Let me give you the child scissors. You can cut with this. So you do that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I should also point out that when people come into our lab, they can't just walk in, sit down and start working. There's a project application process that they have to go through.
Good to know.
And their project is reviewed by our safety board, which is headed by Michael.
Cool. So now we've dispensed with everybody's anxiety, I think, and you're not making any glow in the dark plants, I'm pretty sure. So what, and it's good that you're teaching science, but do any of you have any pet projects that you really feel like you could get a handle on at Hive Bio?
Katriana, I think you can speak to this one.
So actually, the way that I got inspired to work on Hive Bio is through searching for a lab space for my own personal project. I have been working on an all-encompassing diagnostic system that can diagnose bacterial pathogens and antibiotic resistance from a known gene sequence in a matter of seconds. And I've been searching for lab space to work this project idea for over 8 months. And that lack of space for interested parties actually was what drove me and helped inspire me to separately start on Hive Bio other than Bergen with her own impetus. And so I am very excited that it looks like I will finally get to test my project idea, which I will actually hopefully grow into my first biotech startup.
That would be very cool. Now, let me make sure I understand you, because it went by pretty quickly and it's late and I'm not that smart anyhow. So it sounds like you want a simple test to determine whether and what type of infection a person might have. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
So if I come into you and I say, I'm sick, I don't know what's wrong with me, you could, and this is an external test, or does it require bodily fluids, substances, or, you know, thing in my ear? What methodology are you using in order to skin scraping? What will be the minimally invasive thing that you're going to do?
It is minimally invasive. So it's with results taken from a patient sample. So depending on what disease, that could be a skin scraping, a nose swab, a saliva sample, blood sample. And actually, my company will not be delivering these results ourselves, but right now our business plan is that we will be selling them to point-of-care providers so that they can use these at their disposal. And the great thing is that it's combining biotechnology, technology, and human intelligence to combine into one so that a doctor can say, well, from your symptoms, I think you have these possible pathogens, and then test for those. Or if they, for example, diagnose a patient with Staphylococcus aureus, they can test, let me see if you have drug resistance, and then they can test for the different types of resistance. So they can test for ampicillin resistance, penicillin resistance, and methicillin resistance.
That would be fabulous.
All in one test.
That would be fabulous. So let me go back for those who aren't, and I'm only minimally familiar, but what happens for a lot of people when they get sick these days is that you get a germ. If we know you have a germ, we may know that you have a germ, but we don't know what will kill the germ in your body. And fewer products will, because people have bombarded their bodies and other people's and their food with all kinds. We don't even know if it has to do with the food, but they've certainly taken a lot of antibiotics, and they've a lot of times taken them improperly, and they've created sort of super germs that are very resistant to most things. So it would certainly help, instead of the doctor saying, try this, if at the time of diagnosis, the doctor could say, and this will work. That would be great.
Absolutely.
It would not only be great for the patient, it would be great for all the patients who come later who will not suffer by getting super bugs because you got the wrong drug and took it for 2 weeks before they figured out it was the wrong drug. And a sensitivity culture, that used to take what? How long to run that? Like a week, 2 weeks? And it was blood work?
It's a minimum of 2 days, often more.
So this would be, with your thing, would be instant?
Yes, it would be in seconds.
That would be so cool. So that's your project, and you have a reasonably good chance.
How amazing is that, right? So
it is amazing.
And just say, because what's amazing is Katriona can come and have these ideas and try them out, right, in a setting that's safe, but at the same time where she can learn more. And where else in the world can someone that has those ideas that's in high school go and actually try this stuff out? So I'm so excited that this is, you know, she's extraordinarily intelligent and she has these awesome ideas, and now she's going to be able to try them out.
And is there becoming a network of groups like this? And are you in communication with other laboratories that are started by the community, if you will? Or is each one sort of operating in isolation at this point?
Well, Bergen, this one's perfect for you.
Actually, the community is pretty supportive. So yes, we are in contact with other people who run DIY biolabs. Michael and I just had a meeting earlier today with Eric. Michael, can you say his last name?
it's Eric Hasenkoff.
Yeah, who is starting up a DIY biolab in Portland, Oregon.
Okay, so that's and how many are there at this point around the country?
Oh, there's actually kind of a lot. I don't know the exact number, but there's a fair amount.
More than a dozen, fewer?
Yeah, there's a website you can go to. It's just diybio.org, and that's the sort of hub for the whole country, or really just internationally. So there
Absolutely.
Are. There's a whole list of places on there.
And it's called DIY Bio, is what it's called? DIY Bio?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So hold on. I got more questions. If you don't mind staying with us, I would like to ask them. And if you're willing. Are you willing?
Sure.
Oh, good. Okay.
Sure,
hold on. Craig's going to do the button thing because I'm phobic of them now. 720 WGN.
Skilling here. Weather questions? I'll try and answer them. Join me every weekday afternoon at 3:08 and again at 6:08 with Gary Meyer.
Yeah.
And hear my WGN weather forecast throughout the day and night on 720 WGN.
More cars, more trucks, less bucks. Get a big-time deal with a small-town feel at Antioch, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram.
The biggest sale we've ever had is right now at Antioch. We're selling new vehicles for $12,000 off MSRP, $12,000 off. prices have been marked down on over 500 vehicles, or get 0% financing for 72 months. Plus, we're ready to pay big money for all trades. But hurry, the biggest sale we've ever had ends May 31st at Antioch Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram on Route 173 or online at driveantioch.com. Nobody sells for less. Nobody.
Get a big time deal with a small time feel at Antioch Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram.
On select models to qualify buyers with approved credit. $1,389 per thousand finance. Savings from MSRP in lieu of financing. Based on 2012 Ram 2500 SLT Crew. MSRP $52,050. All incentives applied. Add tax, title, license, and doc fee.
Hello, this is financial advisor Dale Bradley speaking to you from the Bradley Investment Center in Evanston. Have you ever made an investment through one of those large national brokerage firms? Have you ever felt like just a number? Well, at the Bradley Investment Center, our goal is not to be the largest practice. It's simply to be the best. Stop by and say hello. We're at the corner of Central and Central Park in Evanston. We are the center of your family's investment needs. 855-940-8700.
Bradley Investment Center is an independent firm. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC.
Millions of Americans suffer tooth loss. Replacing teeth can be long and painful. Major Dental Clinics of Chicago is the place where many patients like you have benefited from same-day tooth replacement using dental implants. An all-inclusive and worry-free approach from advanced diagnostics, treatment planning, to surgery and aesthetic rehabilitation. Visit the Implant Surgery Center at MajorDentalChicago.com or call 773-777-1111. Their perfection is your reflection.
Major Dental Clinics of Chicago doctors are not Medicare and Medicaid participating providers.
WGN. I am Tori Ryder. We are talking with some of the folks on the vanguard of the DIY bio movement. They have Hive Bio in Seattle. They've created it. They've funded it. It's to teach people how to think scientifically, do science, work on their projects, and they're passionate about it, and they're safe. They're very safe. They've all explained how safe they are, so I would trust them. I would. And their names are Bergen McMurray and Dr. Michael Galtzecki and Catriona Guthrie-Honey, and they have been hard at work on their various projects. It sounds like, speaking to the three of you, that you have a really nice balance of passion and talent and a distribution of interests. Would you say that that chemistry happened by itself, or did you go looking for different people to address different aspects of what makes a lab work well?
Actually, that's a really interesting story. So I got the idea for starting up a DIY bio lab in Seattle, kind of just not in conjunction with anyone, just by myself. What I didn't know at the time was that Catriona was living her life having pretty much the same idea at the same time. So I got in touch with Michael looking for people to give me advice on how to do this. Mm-hmm. And he shared some of his DIY bio contacts with me. And through that, I met Catriona through a common contact at Genspace in New York. And
in New York, physically, or is this a virtual contact?
Well, Catriona had actually been out to Genspace to visit, which is how she got hooked up with those people. All my communication is via phone or email.
All of it? Nobody ever sees you? You're like Oz? Well,
no, I mean my communication with Genspace in New York.
Ah, okay. All right. I was almost going to get excited that actually was just an old-fashioned meeting, like you got chocolate in my peanut butter meeting, but it turns out there was technology involved. Darn the luck. I'm kind of a Luddite when it comes to that. Okay, so you meet, one of you is in New York, the other one is kind of telecommuting to this place in New York, and you realize that you have a connection, and then what happens?
Well, Ellen from Genspace in New York said, hey, I just met this girl, Catriona. You guys have practically the exact same vision for a DIY bio organization in Seattle, so you should meet. So we communicated via email, and then we met up, and we agreed, like, yes, our vision is very much the same. We should start working together. And we did, and it turns out just organically that Catriona has been amazing and excellent at networking and gathering funding and things like that. And I have been handling the building of the organization itself, like writing the bylaws and defining officer positions and how membership works. And then that keeps both of us pretty busy. And Michael is handling all of the dealing with the projects and the science.
Sounds like and from the picture I saw, he's opening up a heck of a lot of boxes from what I saw.
Yeah, we all are. Yeah.
What is the donation? I think it's great. My dad shut down his lab a couple years ago. He's older, and I shipped all his cool science gear to various institutions, and it was fun to do it. And to know, look, you'll have an inverted microscope, a really good one now at your school. And I'm guessing that a lot of academic institutions are thrilled to make sure that you have good equipment. But let me ask you, is there a piece of gear, a dream piece of equipment that you just, in your fondest fantasy, it lands on a spaceship and there it is, all yours, all shiny and ready for you to use? What is it?
I'm sure that we all have different answers to that, but I'm gonna direct this one to Michael.
Michael?
Okay, a dream piece of equipment. So I think we could actually use some more but very basic stuff. So more pipetters and more gel stations and things like that. And one of the main goals of this lab is to teach. And so in order for us to be able to offer essentially more people an opportunity to work at the same time, we're going to need just some more of that basic equipment.
So now, basic lab gear, glassware, projects, and things like that.
Yeah. So for each one of the projects, unfortunately, there's probably going to be some, special piece of equipment that's needed. For the stuff that we're doing right now, I can tell you we could probably use just a better thermocycler for doing the PCR. But we'll see.
So you have a wish list, and I'm guessing...
Some stuff donated, so we're just getting through, getting that stuff set up now.
Cool. Well, be careful when you open it, because those scientists sometimes forget what they put in the box.
We've actually already been through that part. I inventoried all the boxes a couple months ago, and there weren't too many surprises in there, luckily.
Oh, good. Because I have to say, as I helped my dad pack up his lab, it's like, what's that doing in there? So I hope you get only what you want and lots of it. And I hope we get to hear maybe in a year or two that you've had your heart's desire, Catriona, and the research is moving forward. And I will keep track of you from far away. I will be watching you. Thank you all so much for doing this and staying up, and all success to you. And don't worry about the glow in the dark plant. It's not going to happen. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Bergen McMurray, Dr. Michael Galtzicki, Catriona Guthrie-Honey, all founders of Hive Bio in Seattle. And maybe there'll be one here. I was looking around. I saw one that they were trying, but it's more of a meetup group now. But things could happen. 720 WGN.
You're listening to Terry Ryder on 720 WGN.